Final hour on this Thursday. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, live at Bridgestone Arena. Predators season opener tonight at 7 against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Parker Kelly back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We start our 11 o'clock hour, as we always do on Thursdays, going to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt football, is on the line. Andrew, as always, appreciate you coming on. How's it going?
Good. Happy hockey season, guys.
Yes, it's always fun when we get to be back out here at Bridgestone Arena. And again, we are 8 hours away from puck drop on a new year. Andrew, over the weekend, Vanderbilt goes down to Alabama, highly anticipated game, ends up falling 30-14, maybe a little bit of a skewed final score with a late touchdown there from Alabama. But with the way that game happened and the two red zone turnovers, does it make you, as a program, feel a little bit better or a little bit worse knowing that, hey, top 10 game on the road, we were right there, we just have to clean up a couple of those mistakes that we made down towards the goal line?
Probably neither. Am I allowed to say neither?
You are allowed to say whatever.
I get the perspective of, and I actually feel like the people in our orbit, Jake, have kind of said to be sitting at 5-1, and be frustrated that we lost to Alabama is such a unique and welcomed position to be in. So from that perspective, there's certainly positives to take away from Vanderbilt stepping into this bye week. And certainly the negative, too, which is kind of why I'm split and I say neither, is like we didn't play our game. I remember saying at the end of the broadcast, like, I wish they beat us better. I wish it wasn't in part because of two red zone turnovers. I wish it was not in part because we struggled to sustain drives and play our brand of football. So, like, did Vanderbilt put its absolute A-plus game on display in Tuscaloosa? Certainly not, and Alabama has a lot to do with that. They're ultra-talented, and that team could win the national championship. So I'm kind of split on that question there.
When you talk about not being able to sustain drives and playing your brand of football, I think one of the stats that really stood out to me looking at it this week was only 6 carries for the running backs, especially after the early long touchdown run from Cedric Alexander. Is that something that you think maybe Tim Beck would go back and change if he could to get those guys, Seti and A.J. Newberry and M.K. Young, a little bit more involved throughout the game?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's a good question. I think Alabama, and I actually think Vanderbilt, too, I think both teams in the second and third quarter did a lot better defending the run, because I don't think either one of them was exceptional in the first quarter. And I think what happened to Vanderbilt in the fourth quarter was just getting fatigued. And at that point, Jim Miller kind of just was able to take over the football game in the fourth quarter. I mean, I think it's a question worth, examining, looking at, all of that sort of stuff. But Alabama obviously made a conscious point of defending the run. And to some extent, too, Jake, Vanderbilt's best rushing attack is often going to be Diego Pavia. Again, a hard question to answer. I think you just find yourself in a situation with however you get there. If your average number of plays per drive is 6, which is, I think, what it was for Vanderbilt, and Alabama was like 8 or 9. It's two teams that like to play time of possession and sustained drives, and Alabama just got to their game better than Vanderbilt. And certainly finding ways to extend drives, whether that was with Cedric Alexander, M.K. Young, whoever it happened to be. There was a handful of drops that certainly had hurt Vanderbilt too, extending drives. So all of that sort of stuff has been talked about there.
When you look at some of the post-game comments by Pavia, one of the things he said was they got to get back to the identity and who they are. How did Alabama take them out of their identity, and what can they do to get back to it during this bye week?
I would be curious to know exactly what Diego was talking about. I don't want to speak for Diego Clark or Tim Beck too much. I think probably who they are is the time of possession stuff, and they just again couldn't sustain it versus Alabama. Like, I thought the defense actually was okay. It wasn't great. It got leaky on that last drive before halftime, which was huge, You know, perhaps Diego's talking about taking care of the football a little bit better. Is it, and that's some of it's fumble, some of it's the interception, which, by the way, did you go back and see the video of Diego's interception? Because Norm pointed it out during our broadcast, or might have said it to me off the air, but Sav, the safety, hid behind the ref and then popped out and jumped in front of the route, which was just like, you know, like, tip your cap to Sav. whether it was on purpose, whether it was happenstance, I don't know. Norm saw it on the replay in our booth, and then I saw the video, like, line of sight. He was behind one of the refs, and he just kind of jumped out and took it away in the red zone. So kudos to him. You know, I don't know if Diego's talking about his own turnovers. He's been a little bit more turnover prone this season. You know, he might have tried to feel like he had to play hero ball because the game was starting to slip a little bit. I don't know. I'd probably defer to him on exactly what he's referencing. But, you know, again, Vanderbilt's a time of possession built team. And that was heavily skewed the other way versus Bama.
Yeah, I think that's what he was referring to, controlling the football a little bit more. You know, that's something that you guys do. Let me ask you this, though. Jordan Matthews, he's hired as an offensive assistant. You're around that program. Well, what type of impact do you think he could have, and what led to that?
We're going to talk with Jordan coming up on Monday and do an extended interview, so we'll get more details on kind of how it all came together. But just watching him interact with the guys, first off, he's like a very positive influence on the guys. On the practice field, like a lot of high energy, a lot of really good thoughtful conversation, all of that sort of stuff. And he's obviously someone that comes with a ton of experience, having done it both at the collegiate level and being fairly successful at the NFL level. I think he's a guy, he's a voice that our players will listen to, can share some unique perspectives, and to do it, you know, Clark's in a unique position where he understands what it means to step into Warren Vanderbilt, what's possible here, how to get there, how to find the right routes, all of that sort of stuff. Well, Jordan Matthews kind of in the same boat, right? Like, he can talk to these players. He knows how it's been done before. He knows how this program can help get it even more because of his own experiences. Just because somebody played at a school doesn't, like, inherently make them a great coach. But so far, he's been a really nice energy guy, intelligence guy, thoughtful guy, and communicator for the players. It's been fun to see.
Talking with Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt football. They are on their bye week. And Andrew, last year, the bye week came right before that big Alabama win over the number one Crimson Tide. And you get it later on in the year. You've already played half your games if you're the Commodores. But how important do you think this week is to regroup, knowing that everything that you have that you want to accomplish is still out in front of you, and it's going to be a tough matchup with LSU coming to Nashville next weekend?
I mean, I think this stuff is huge. Bye weeks are huge for a mental reset. They're huge for a physical reset. I don't feel like Vanderbilt has, you know, and I say this cautiously, a ton of, like, massive health concerns that they've got to deal with, but there's a few out there that would be nice to evaluate throughout the course of the bye week. Like, what is the status of Issa Wataha? I mean, he is a disruptive force in the middle defensively, and that would be great to get back. So to be able to evaluate those sort of things, and some of it too, guys, and I think anybody that works in all of this sort of stuff can attest to it. Just the mental reset kind of freshens you up and you come back a little bit sharper. You know, the guys will get a little bit of time with friends and family and all of that sort of stuff. And you're better people when you can kind of get that mental reset too. So it comes at a great time, a massively significant time in the season. So, you know, I'm always, you know, I feel like we come on and I talk with you guys and TD, I think you can relate to this. Like, you know, the bye weeks, the talk outside the games, I never know exactly how much it's going to impact the actual product on the field because it comes down to execution when you're between the white lines. But, you know, all things considered, to get this reset for this team right now is pretty significant. And to your point, it's like you walk away from the Alabama game. And I think, you know, I know this team and this program has a lot of internal confidence anyway. But you look, and who knows what's going to happen with wins and losses, but I know they'll take the field every single one of their games left, believing they can win that game.
Andrew, always appreciate you coming on. Vandy with the bye week this week. Hope you enjoy your bye week and excited for LSU coming up from First Bank Stadium next Saturday.
I can't wait, guys.
Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt football. Always appreciate his time and insights as the Commodores now 5-1, 20th ranked team in the country. They've got the weekend off, and they will take on LSU, currently the 11th ranked team in the country, next Saturday, the 18th. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport out here at Bridgestone Arena. The staff here has brought over a surprise us. We've got some food in front of us. We have resisted digging in to this point, outside of a couple handful of fries. Yeah, TD's going to show it on the stream if you're watching there. We've got a lot of the new offerings here at Bridgestone Arena. The Broadway glazed honey stack, which is a donut burger with bacon right there. You've got the Enforcer Mushroom Swiss Burger, which looks delicious. TD, I think that one's calling his name.
Absolutely.
We've got the, and I don't want to say this wrong, it might be, you might not be allowed to say it, the Forget About It Italian Grinder, which these are all new offerings right here at Bridgestone Arena. And then the BetMGM Lounge also brought over another burger and a salad, too. So we've
that
got
salad's crazy.
We've got plenty of food right here with us here at Jack Daniel's Barrel House. We're gonna sample it during the break here, and we'll give you some reviews. We'll let you know what to come get when you come out here to Bridgestone Arena for Preds games this season. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport.
Save some Parker for me. Kelly. I'll be over after the show.
Parker, we'll send some back over to you. Next man up, you're on 102.5 The Game.